The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. Hello, geeks. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. This is episode 4 of season 10, and it's brought to you today by Social Joey and Location 3. A quick note, if you like what we're doing here, please head over to the iTunes store and leave us a review, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Today, we're going to dive deep into customer service and experience and convenience with Shep Hyken, the Chief Amazement Officer, best title ever, of Shepherd Presentations. He's a New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author and works with companies and organizations who want to build loyal relationships with their customers and employees. He's written 7 books, including his latest, The Convenience Revolution, and he joins us right now on Social Geek Radio. Welcome, Shep.
Hey, it is great to be here. And what'd you call yourself? The consigliere?
The consigliere of social media, yes.
Yeah,
very cool. Tom Hagen Godfather reference there for all the geeks.
Exactly.
So thanks for joining. I'm really intrigued by this whole idea of convenience being the next driver of all things. How did we get here?
Well, with convenience, well, it's been around for a long time. However, it's coming to the front of business because, we can go all the way back to when convenience started, 534 AD, when Justinian the Great declared that there would be a store selling life's necessities at every major street corner, which, by the way, they were fewer and farther between back then. It's where chariots rode, I guess. But there would be a store selling life's necessities for the, and the words that were used was for the convenience of the citizens. So that was the first convenience store of all time. Second convenience store was 7-Eleven. But seriously, back in the 1920s, around 1927, Southland Ice Company, which was the company based in Dallas that sold blocks of ice for people to put into their ice boxes, which kept everything cold in their home. Today we have, you know, refrigerators, but they started selling items that people could buy instead of going to the grocery store. And that turned into 7-Eleven today with about 65,000 convenience stores. And,
yeah.
But it's convenience is much more than that. Companies like Amazon, if you look at the word convenience in the dictionary, there's a pretty good chance the picture of an Amazon logo will be right there. Talk about convenient. They made it so easy to do business with. They disrupted the entire book industry and eventually disrupted the entire retail industry. Uber did the same thing when they came in. They started, I used to live in the suburbs. Today I live in a condo in a urban area, but if I wanted a taxi cab, I would have to pick up the phone, call the cab company, and then I'd usually call and say, hey, they were supposed to be here. Where are they? Oh, they're on their way.
Yeah.
And when I got there, the driver didn't know where I was going. I had to tell them. I didn't know how much it was going to cost till I ended the ride. And then I had to pay them when I got out. And Uber eliminated all of that. They made life convenient. And I use these companies as examples, but they're the ones that set the bar because our customers don't compare us to a direct competitor anymore. They compare us to the best service and experience they've ever had. And these types of companies are doing it. And by the way, you don't have to be a big company like an Uber or an Amazon. A local car dealership, for example, when I was looking to buy a car from them, I kept thinking, why should I buy a car from them over the other dealership that I've been doing business with for 25 years? Because this dealership was like 10 miles further away. And they said, hey, we'll bring the car to you. And every time you need service, we'll drop off a loaner and pick it up. You never have to come in here till it's time to buy another car. And I go, are you serious? I mean, what's this going to cost? Oh, no, it's part of our value proposition. That's not the exact words he used, but that's how I interpreted it. And guess what? I'm buying my third car from them. So,
what I love about that is the fact that you did business with the other dealer for 25 years. That's no longer a factor in their loyalty. You know, they haven't done anything to earn you coming back for year number 26.
I probably had 3 or 4 different salespeople over that time. From the standpoint of getting service done, it was always convenient because they were very close to my office, less than a mile. I could drop the car off. And that's why I did business with them. Yet I know I have friends that have had car dealerships they've dealt with where their salesperson's been there for years and they have a relationship. If you can disrupt everything with a great relationship, but today, if you all that relationship does is give you a second chance if you're not being competitive in a number of areas. I think convenience trumps price. Think about, you know, the basic example I love to use is if you're in a hotel room with a mini bar, and that bar is going to be a can of Coca-Cola that's $5 versus the soda machine that's less than 50 feet outside your room that sells that same can of Coke for a buck and a quarter. You know, and yeah. Guess what happens? Every morning you see people restocking the mini bar, the hotel employees are restocking the mini bar. But, you know, in today's extremely competitive world, you've got to do things to stand out. You've got to do things to be easy. And if you can create this really easy experience for the customer, they'll go, well, why would I want to go somewhere else? Why would I want to learn how to do business with someone else? This company makes it so easy for me. And it does make price less relevant. There are industries that are commodity type industries, by the way, that price becomes extremely sensitive, but the relationship and the ease of doing business will give you a second chance to earn the business and rebid if necessary. So I've talked with quite a few clients who run into that situation. They realize they still have to deliver the value and the service experience, even though the client says, really, all I want is a low price.
Yeah, because there will be somebody that comes along with a lower price, no matter what, no matter what kind of commodity, there's always somebody.
And it's terrible if your customer is not loyal to you, but to your price. That's why they move, because they found a better price.
Yeah, very good point. In the new book, you talk about the principles of convenience. Is price one of those principles, or what can you tell us more about these principles?
No, the goal is to make price as irrelevant as possible.
Yeah.
So the six principles are, number one, and I'll go through them in like under a minute, is reducing friction. And that's what Uber did. And every one of these principles has a piece of reducing friction in it. But some companies like Uber make it their entire value proposition. You've got self-service, where you give it to the control to the customer to get things done, whether it be customer service, whether it be ordering something. You've got technology. Think about how easy PayPal made it to transfer money from my bank account to yours. I'm sure that would make you happy if I did that too.
I'll send that over to you momentarily.
Yeah. I just pretty much, if you're signed up, I just send it to, you know, it's amazing. Subscription. It's not about a magazine or a newspaper. It's about anything that you consume on a regular basis. Can I get it to you on a regular basis where you don't even have to think about it? It just shows up. Imagine getting that 50-pound bag of dog food delivered to your doorstep every month so you don't have to go to the store, pick it up, put it in your car, drag it, you know, whatever. You've got delivery. I mentioned my car dealership delivers. And then you've got access. Are you accessible to your customers? What are your hours of operation? What are your, logistically, are you close? I use a bank, Huntington Bank, as an example. They extended their hours beyond bankers' hours. I heard a great line the other day that if your hours, if you're in the business like at a bank of being open from 9 to 5, you're basically promoting yourself to the unemployed.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like,
when was the last time you were free between 9 and 5 on a weekday? Right.
Right, right. So they extended their hours to later, and they also have Saturday hours. And think about the, you know, I work with car dealerships, and one of the complaints was, well, these independents are taking business away from us. Yeah, because the independents stay open till 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. They're open on the weekends. You close your body shop or your, you're not your body shop, your mechanic shop, you know, at what, 5 or 5:30, and you're not open on the weekends, and that's just not convenient for your customer.
Yeah. So, do you see a trend in brands like that? You mentioned fighting the independents. Do you see a trend of larger brands or more established brands having to change their convenience model to sort of fight with the startups and maybe act a little bit more like a startup when it comes to convenience?
Well, it's not even just a startup. It's a local company, for example. Think about what Ace Hardware does compared to Home Depot. And sometimes, you know, an Ace Hardware store may be at a location for, you know, 50 years, family owned, and then directly next door, Home Depot goes up. And then on the other side of them, you know, Lowe's goes up, yeah, you know, or Menards. How do they compete against that? Because all of a sudden, this is what, and by the way, Home Depot delivers good, you know, offers good service. Their hours, I know from the interviews I did with some owners of Ace Hardware stores, there's a guy in Boston, and literally on each side of him, one of these big box stores went up. His hours of operation were 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. And Home Depot comes in and starts at 6 a.m. and goes till 10 o'clock. And they've got bigger selection and they've got a little bit lower price. So how does he compete against that? It was amazing. First of all, he recognized who his customers were. And he said, you know what, I can change my hours, but is that going to change my, you know, really what's going on? He didn't change his hours. Where he became more convenient to them was, number one, you know, they pride themselves on being helpful. They mm-hmm. gave a competitive price. And he said, look, we're smaller. You can park in a parking lot and it's like rock star parking compared to some of the parking you're going to get at one of these big box stores and the yeah. big parking lots, and they're crowded. You're going to get in and out of the store faster, because of the relationship they had with their commercial, contractors. You know, they had a way of making sure everything was ready to go and it was easy to get to. But from a consumer standpoint, if I'm just going in for a quick, you know, home improvement project or to pick up a tool or, you know, drill bit or whatever, you know, they just made it, it's just an easier experience. So they compete at a huge level on convenience. Matter of fact, Jonathan Heisen, the CEO of Ace Hardware, who was so nice to endorse the book, when I sent him a copy of the book in galley form, he said, have you been like sitting in our private meetings? He says, wait till you see the new commercials. We're not just the helpful hardware store. We're the helpful, convenient hardware store.
Oh, look at that.
So, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, I say, and I want to jump on it because I kind of derailed on the question here. I recently did an event with a bunch of dealerships, similar to franchisees, but small businesses. And it was asked, you know, we're competing against Amazon and these big box stores. How do we compete? And I say, you've got a tremendous advantage. You're local. You can build in the community in a relationship that these bigger stores typically can't. Even if they try to become more convenient, they can't out-local the local company. So if you're a small company, a franchise that's in a community or a market, you know, think about the community and get totally engrossed in that community and be a part of it. Using another Ace Hardware example real quick, there was a gentleman down in Houston, and one of the big box stores came in and outspent him in advertising by more than 30-1. For every dollar he'd ever spent, they were coming in and spending 30 times more.
Yikes.
He said, I can't compete with that. So what he did is he took down for almost all of his basic advertising from the traditional advertising, and he took that money and he started to give it to the school, you know, the soccer team, to the church dance, to the high school dance, and he started giving little bits of money to sponsor these events. And he just totally, you know, embraced the community at a level he hadn't done before. And he was able to not just maintain his business, but he thrived in that situation.
I love it. We're going to be talking a lot about local at the upcoming International Franchise Association Convention. And you'll be speaking there on Monday,
yes,
February 25th in Vegas. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be chatting about. I would assume it's convenience and disrupting the
yes.
competition and all of that stuff.
So I believe this is my 8th presentation at the IFA conference. And I pride myself, unbelievably, of doing a different presentation every time. And so this one will be focused on the most recent book, which came out just a few months ago. And that's going to be on the convenience revolution. So what I love to do is set the whole thing up and spend about, I guess we're going to have about an hour and 15 or an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take about about 20 to 30 minutes of that and really set it up so everybody understands these 6 principles, lots of different examples. And then I'm going to ask the audience to take some time, and we're going to work through several different concepts. I want somebody in the restaurant industry, in the, you know, home healthcare industry, somebody, you know, all the different types of franchisees that are out there. Let's get some general examples of how we can all be more convenient to our customers. Because you know what? We win when we're more convenient.
One of the things I love about the IFA, everybody leaves the competition baggage at the doorstep. And everybody jumps in and shares ideas. And especially when we have a great speaker like you come in, we can really, you know, kind of build upon what you're talking about. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, me too. And I'm so flattered that they keep bringing me back. So I just want to maintain my relevance to everybody there.
and make sure that you come back for a ninth time. You know, but it's kind of funny that you say that though, because there are so many people out there that have, you know, sort of the one trick pony crowd where, you know, they're talking about the same thing that they talked about 5 years ago. But the subjects that you're talking about, it's changed five times in the past 5 years. You know, you can't be talking about what you were talking about 5 years ago.
Well, there's a lot that has changed. I could probably at some point go back and do the first speech I did 7 or 8 years ago, and it would be relevant. I mean, the people who have been coming every year, I ask how many people, it's like my favorite opening line, how many people, this is the first time you've ever seen me? And about half the people raise their hand. How many people have never seen me before? And it's funny, the same people raise their hand. But seriously, I'm going to say more than half the people are repeat offenders or repeat customers that keep coming back to my presentation. Because I do promise it's going to be different. We might spend 5 minutes, you know, pushing the one concept that is within all of my programs, and that is you manage the moment, the interaction that you have with that customer. It goes one of three ways. It's a moment of misery if it's bad. It's a moment of mediocrity if it's just average or satisfactory, or it's a moment of magic if it's positive. And anything better than average, even the tiniest bit better than average, is a moment of magic. And when you can be consistently and predictably, even just a little above average, your customers think, wow, they're amazing, because they say they're always friendly, they're always helpful, they're always knowledgeable, they always, you know, the word always followed by something positive.
Yeah.
That's what we want our customers to walk away thinking.
Oh, great. We are looking forward to it. More information on that event is available right now at franchise.org. We'll be back to wrap up in just a second, but a quick note that today's episode is brought to you by Location 3. Location 3 understands that no two business locations are alike, even when they're part of the same brand. You need a strategic approach to franchise digital marketing, and Location 3's in-house digital marketing experts and best-in-class technology combine to increase your brand's awareness and drive customers into your stores. So whether it's business listings management, franchise paid media, SEO, or franchise development, Location 3's services and skills are exclusively tailored to the franchise experience for both the brand and franchisees. Learn more today at location3.com. Shep, where can our listeners find out more about you, the latest book, and your speaking engagements?
Sure, hyken.com, H-Y-K-E-N. It's about that easy. And yeah, there's plenty of information there about the book. If you really want to learn where I'm going to be speaking, there's you go on speaking presentations, there's a little calendar. But you know what? More importantly, every week I come out with an article on customer service, and you can subscribe to it, or you could just go to where it says customer service blog, and I've got my articles that I write every week. We have a guest post every week. We, you know, I have all the information, and my goal is, you know, we're trying to create this amazing experience for our customers, and that's why I call it the convenience revolution. A book I had several books back was called The Amazement Revolution. You know, it's a revolution. We want to get out there, and we want everybody to be successful. So lots of content, and I hope people take advantage of it.
Excellent. And we will have a link to that right on socialgeekradio.com and our Facebook page as well. Shep, thanks so much for joining Social Geek Radio today, and we look forward to seeing you in February in Vegas.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, and good night, everybody.